was walking the dog this week when today's song came to mind. I got to the end of my block and I saw one of our members loading a garbage truck. He was working and moving fast, as folks in that industry seem to do, so I ran over quickly to say hello. Thankfully, he took off his garbage gloves to shake my hand before hopping back on the truck to get to work. Prosper the work of our hands, O Lord, the psalmist writes. Prosper the work of our hands. Simon was a hard worker. He had been out all night on the lake fishing, and now in the morning he had come to shore and was washing his nets, his empty nets. It's probably unfair to judge Simon's abilities as a fisherman based on one night's work. Hardly a representative sample, you know. But the nets were empty. Perhaps Simon was just not very good at fishing. Perhaps he should have taken a different route per his guidance counselor in high school, or maybe he just hit a dry spot. Either way, I'm betting he was feeling pretty discouraged. Discouraged, of course, because fishing wasn't just a hobby for him, it was how he made a living. Empty nets meant an empty stomach. Empty nets meant failure. And then Jesus comes up to him, followed by this huge crowd. He didn't know Jesus, but he'd heard about him. Rumors had been spreading. And Jesus asked to be taken out onto Simon's boat so he could teach from it to the crowd gathered on the shore. And so off they go. I wonder what that was like for Simon, piloting that boat while Jesus taught, while his voice boomed across the waters to the attentive crowd. Did Simon listen to Jesus' teaching, or was he still ruminating about his failure? Was he energized by Jesus, or just exhausted from the fruitless night? Did Jesus' message strike him as uplifting or abstract? Or was he just thinking about those nets, those empty nets? Jesus finishes up speaking, the crowd dissipates, and then the familiar miracle. Fish. So many fish. Not quite too much of a good thing, but you know, close. Prosper the work of our hands, O Lord, the psalmist writes. I thought of our psalm today as I dropped Zora off at daycare this week, and one of her lovely daycare workers was putting on these big latex gloves just before changing another child's diaper. Talk about too much of a good thing. Prosper the work of our hands, O Lord. Prosper the work of our hands. After Simon gets the other boat to come and help them, they're able to make sure the good thing doesn't become too much of a good thing. And then something odd occurs. Simon realizes what's happened. The teacher isn't just a teacher. He's, well, I don't know what Simon thought he was. I don't think Simon quite knew either, except that Jesus was more. More than a teacher, more than a rabbi, more than human, maybe. Like divine, like from God. And when Simon realizes that God is in some sense standing before him, he falls to his face in despair before Jesus. Coming face to face with the divine, Simon has now come face to face with himself, and he doesn't like what he sees. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. When Simon sees himself in the light of God, he sees his sinfulness, which is probably beyond the sort of simple individual sins we might have in mind. What Simon sees when confronted with God is his own humanity. He sees the way he's jealous of men who can actually catch fish, sure. But he also sees the way he lives in a world that abandons families with empty nets to poverty. He sees his brokenness, his lack of faith, his mortality, his weaknesses. He sees this world around him with its abuses of power and tribalism and faithlessness and violence. He sees this all and he realizes that if this is God before him, if this is even just a little bit of the divine, then he and everyone else are not worthy of that presence. He, they, we cannot even bear that presence in the light it shines on us. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Simon's words echo Isaiah's when he was confronted with the divine. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, Isaiah said. Simon's actions echo those of Moses, who fell on his face before the burning bush. Simon is like Adam and Eve, who hid themselves when they heard God walking in the garden, afraid that their nakedness might be exposed. Simon is full of shame, for who he is and the world he's living in. He's full of despair after nights of empty nets in a world of empty nets. And that makes him afraid. Afraid of the future and afraid of God seeing him for who he is and making him see it too. I've never come face to face with Jesus on a boat, but I know what an empty net feels like. So do you. When some failure, some small failure, seems to represent so much more than just that one failure. Like it just shows that you are a failure. Like our world is a failure. That's shame. And shame fills you up from the inside and you just want to hide, pretend it's not there. You don't want to contemplate the future. It's too terrifying. And you certainly don't want God to see you. Not like that. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Jesus' response to Simon, to his shame and his fear and his despair, is not a word of consolation, oddly enough, nor a word of judgment. It isn't even a word of forgiveness, not directly at least. Instead, Jesus calls him. Jesus enlists him. Do not be afraid, he says to Simon. From now on, you will be catching people. See, the thing is, Simon isn't wrong. He's a sinful man. He is part of a sinful world, a broken world, a mortal world. And so are we. Simon knows it. We know it. Jesus knows it. Simon is a sinful man, but now, all of a sudden, he's also a called man, called to some important work. Prosper the work of our hands, the psalmist writes. Prosper the work of our hands. I think of a member of our congregation who writes the most beautiful cards. Cards for people who are sick, or for people who are alone, or for people who are celebrating. I've received one of these cards myself. Perhaps you have too. It's a good feeling. Prosper the work of our hands, O Lord. Prosper the work of our hands. A great mystery of Scripture is its unlikely cast of characters. Childless nomads and arrogant brothers, murderers and prostitutes, lustful kings and power-hungry kings and incompetent kings, foreigners and poor people, failed fishermen, people who know shame, people who question whether God taking a good look at us should really be considered a good thing, people afraid of the future, and rightfully so, a strange cast of characters. And then God gathers these people up, pours a little water on their heads, and enlists them for some important work. It's absurd. Maybe God does it because there isn't much else to work with. Maybe God does it because God sees something in us that we don't see, like God's got more faith in us than we dare have. Maybe God does it because God believes it takes one who's walked in darkness to bear light. Hard to say why, but God does it. God calls folks the likes of Simon, folks the likes of you, into this important work, this ministry. Prosper the work of our hands, O Lord. I think of the crossing guard down the block from me on Patrician Way, who greets kids with exuberance every morning as they begin another day at school. Prosper the work of our hands, O Lord. Prosper the work of our hands. What is this work Jesus is calling Simon to anyway? Catching people is a little abstract, don't you think? Maybe even criminal? So what is the work, anywho? Well, I'd say we only need to look back in order to look forward. Just last week, Jesus declared that he was what he was all about, quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is about bringing good news to those who could sure use a dose of it. And he's calling Simon, the fearful, despairing, shameful, failed fisherman, to join him. And he's calling you too. It's sad that stories like this one are read so often at ordinations for pastors, but not at the start of a new school year for teachers or students, or a new fiscal year for accountants, or whenever a baby is born in the hospital for new parents, or at a retirement celebration. We've turned God's calling and God's work into a limited set of professions in the church. But that's not how God works. God's ministry of good news for those who could sure use a dose of it is far too important to limit it like that. God doesn't just want the hands that write sermons or tear little pieces of bread, even if it's holy bread. God also wants to use hands which dig in the dirt and pour concrete, hands which dance upon a piano, and hands which gently draw blood, hands which knit sweaters and hands which clean toilets, hands which dial a telephone number of a friend who rarely gets dialed, and hands which grip the steering wheel of an 18-wheeler, hands which hold grandchildren gently in their arms, and hands which hold grandparents right back, hands which craft legislation and sign it into law, and hands which make protest signs and type angry letters to politicians. Young hands and old hands, black hands and white hands, strong hands and weak hands, your hands. God wants your hands doing what you do to bring good news to a world that could sure use it. Prosper the work of our hands, O Lord. Prosper the work of our hands. We know all too well the mess we live in, the sin, the brokenness. We've seen the empty nets to prove it. But there is a word of good news, a word of life, a word of grace. And today you are called not only to receive that word, but to share it in everything you do. Today you are called to drop your shame, drop your despair, drop your fear. Today you are called to drop your empty nets and join the work of good news. Prosper the work of our hands, O Lord. Prosper the work of our hands. Amen.